Chapter 2. Tori. Spark, I cursed, glancing over my shoulder to make sure I was still alone out here. The night was dark, shadows thick and silence deep in my particular spot of the multi-story car park, but I could never be too careful. The beautiful silver bike beside me was hiding me for the most part, but if anyone spotted me, the game would be up. Spark, come on! I brushed the wires together again. And still, nothing happened. Was there an extra security feature on this model that I didn't know about? I'd done my research, but limited editions were prone to random upgrades. I have considered cutting my losses and getting the hell out of there. A high-pitched laugh sounded somewhere between the cars, my heart rate spiking in response. Can't see me back here. Not yet. They're nowhere near close enough yet. I wrangled my frayed nerves into line, releasing a slow breath through my nose as I forced my heartbeat to slow down. One last shot before I gave up. I ground my teeth together, picturing the little spark of energy I needed so desperately. If I wanted it enough, it would happen. One final try. I brushed the wires together, and the stunning creature beside me purred as life was breathed into its engine. Oh, yes. I stood quickly, pulling the black helmet down onto my head and sliding the visor into place so that my face was completely hidden. I made sure any final strands of my long black hair were tucked up out of sight and kicked my leg over the bike. Let's go for a ride, I breathed, anticipation stroking my spine like a feather-like caress. My fingers tightened around the throttle, and I gave it a little tug, letting the engine growl beneath me. I bit my lip, a smile splitting my face. I wasn't clear yet. I had to get this beauty across town to Joey's if I wanted this to pay off. But I couldn't help but spend a moment bathing in my victory as I admired the sleek, silver beast I was about to ride off on. Hey! My head snapped up as a security guard stepped out of the stairwell to my left. He obviously knew the owner of this beauty, and the fact that that wasn't me.
You there! What do you think you're...
I kicked the bike into gear and released the throttle before he could finish that thought. I shot forward, leaning low as I guided the superbike down the steep, spiraling ramp as quickly as humanly possible. If anyone was coming the other way, then I was dead. Splat. Gone. Bye-bye, Tori. But not today. The ground leveled out, and I shot towards the exit. The barriers were down, but that didn't matter. The pedestrian access was wide open, and I had a huge 6-inch leeway to guide the bike through. With no time to slow down, it felt a little hairier than it should have, and I inhaled sharply as I shot through the narrow opening, my left knee brushing the wall. My heart was pounding, adrenaline shivering along my limbs, but I was out. Now I just had to keep going until I made it to Joey's and hope the cops didn't catch me first. Not that they stood much chance while I was on this bad boy. With a top speed of 186 miles per hour and the freedom to take back alleys and sidewalks, I was pretty much home dry already. I zigzagged between the traffic, sliding through a set of lights as I switched from amber to red and swung a left. The flash of red and blue lights came from my right a moment before I heard the sirens, and I threw another left-hand turn into the mix before shooting down an alley between two apartment blocks and skidding out onto the street on the far side. With the cops officially lost, I let the throttle loose on a long stretch of road before me, weaving other vehicles and narrowly avoiding a collision as I ran a red light. My heart was pounding even harder now, but not with fear. This was it, half the reason I took these risks. Riding these machines made me feel alive unlike anything else. I wished I could take my helmet off and let the wind race through my hair at top speed with nothing but an open road ahead of me. Unfortunately, my disguise would be ruined if I attempted such a thing. The baggy jeans and oversized brown leather jacket were not, in fact, an indication of my terrible taste in fashion, but were actually cleverly selected to make anyone who saw me believe I was a man. With my long hair and feminine curves hidden, plus the fact that people just prefer to think of men as criminals, my cover was pretty airtight, so long as I didn't get caught. The city lights sped by, and I added an extra circle to my route just to make absolutely sure that no one had followed me. And If I was being totally honest, I wasn't going to complain about giving this beauty another 5 minutes of my time either. My bones thrummed with the power of the engine beneath me, and for a moment, I let myself feel the ache to just keep the bike for myself. Of course, that idea was absurd. Where would a girl who could scarcely afford a cell phone have gotten a limited edition superbike from? No, I was destined to ride the bus as usual, and my nighttime exploits would have to remain hidden. Once I was doubly confident that no one was tailing me, I turned the bike down a sloping alleyway and rolled it to a halt beside the black shutters which marked the service entrance to Joey's. I revved the engine once before cutting it and stepping off the machine I so wished to keep. The seconds dragged as I waited for Joey to let me in, and the tension in my gut coiled tighter as I glanced over my shoulder towards the road at the far end of the alley. If he didn't hurry up, I was going to reacquaint him with my left hook. With a deep rattle which made me jump half out of my skin, the shutter was lifted. I didn't wait for it to open all the way, pushing the bike inside and ducking beneath it quickly. The shutter fell to the ground, and I kicked the stand down before pulling my helmet off and turning my gaze to Joey. He was a tall man, his dark hair slicked back with gel, and his leather jacket stamped with the insignia of his bike gang. Not that I had any interest in that. He was in his late 30s. Not old enough to have stopped him from trying his luck with me in the past, but too old for me to be interested. I was 18. He'd been my age when I was born. Gross. Joey let out a long whistle as his gaze traveled over the bike. I didn't waste my breath pointing out all of its features. He was one of the few people I knew whose knowledge on these machines rivaled my own. Pretty good, huh? I asked with a smirk. This was by far the most expensive bike I'd ever stolen for him.
Depends on your definition, he replied,
his gaze raking over the machine hungrily. Come on, I know what it's worth. Don't try and screw me over, I said irritably.
Yeah, it's worth a lot, all right. It's also a limited edition.
I'm aware, I replied dryly.
As in, very limited. They only made 85 of these beauties. How do you expect me to shift that? It may as well have a big flashing sign on it saying, stolen.
Joey tore his eyes from the bike, raising an eyebrow at me as my heart sank. I'd been caught up in the challenge of it. The moment I'd seen the bike, I knew I just had to ride it. What I didn't think about was this situation. Shit, I cursed. What does that mean for me? Joey tilted his head, eyeing the superbike again.
400.
Fuck off, Joey. That bike cost over 40 grand new, and it's only a few months old. My palms grew slick as I kept my face in a mask of outrage, and worry began to gnaw at me. We needed the money from this job. I'd been hoping for 3 grand at the very least, and that bike was supposed to secure it for me.
Take it or leave it,
he said with a shrug, moving towards the shutters as if he was going to open them again. Please, I bit out, the word nearly burning my tongue. I need the money from this.
Why are you so desperate for cash all of a sudden?
He asked, eyeing me with something that almost looked like concern. Because I need every penny I can get me and my sister the hell out of this backwards corner of nowhere and start our goddamn lives. None of your business, I replied steadily. Joey tutted.
800. Not a penny more.
Done, I growled. It wasn't as much as I'd wanted, but it was better than nothing. Joey moved away to locate the cash, heading up a wooden staircase to the building above us. I pulled the old leather jacket off of me before I followed. It smelled of tobacco and peppermint. The guy I'd stolen it from obviously believed he could cover one smell with the other. He was wrong. I kicked the baggy jeans off next. Beneath them, I was wearing a pair of skin-tight yoga pants, and my black boots came up to my knee. The red vest I'd coupled with it was just dressy enough to pass for something I'd wear clubbing, especially as I tugged it lower to make my cleavage more prominent. I yanked the clips from my hair last, letting my black locks tumble to my waist as I ran my hands through it. No one would recognize me now. The man who had stolen that bike was long gone, and I was just one of many girls out enjoying a drink tonight. I followed Joey up the stairs, pausing outside his office as I waited for my money. He handed me a thick envelope, and I didn't bother to count the contents. He was always good to his word where finances were concerned. I gave him a nod before heading further along the corridor and through the back entrance to the bar, which acted as a front for his less-than-legal exploits downstairs. The stench of strong liquor and unwashed man assaulted me as I passed through the crowd of bikers. The bartender spotted me and poured a shot of tequila into a glass before sliding it my way. I slipped between the bodies and accepted the drink as I leaned an elbow on the bar. I had no intention to stay long, but I couldn't turn down free booze. I knocked the drink back, my throat burning in response to the sting of the liquor as I slammed the glass down again. I turned to leave and found my way blocked by a wall of muscular chest wrapped up in a crisp white shirt.
"Can I have a word with you?"
he asked as I glanced up at him. He was tall, his brown hair pushed back in the kind of careless, "I've spent ages making this look accidental" way that guys with too much time and money on their hands often went for. I guessed he was 5 or 6 years older than me, probably mid-20s. Kinda hot in a straight-laced way, which wasn't really my bag. "Are you lost?" I asked with a smirk. This was a biker bar. Facial hair, leather jackets, and jeans were pretty much the uniform here, and Mr. Expensive Shirt and Gray Slacks stood out like a sore thumb. He did have a beard, but it was carefully styled to look a certain way. The beards in here were more along the lines of crumb-hoarding face wigs than designer stubble. He was drawing attention, and the last thing I needed right now was any extra attention.
"No, I found exactly what I'm looking for," he replied, his deep tone almost lost to the heavy metal playing in the background.
"Good for you. I'll see you around." I started to walk away from him, but he caught my arm.
"What the hell do you think you're—" "Take a seat with me," he said, his tone firm.
I dropped into a chair by the bar, and he sat down beside me, releasing my arm. Joey had made an appearance behind the counter, and he raised an eyebrow at my choice of companion. I hadn't actually meant to sit down, and I frowned as I tried to figure out why I had.
"You drinking tonight then, Tori?"
Joey asked with a smirk as he filled another shot of tequila for me with half a smile. He knew I wouldn't waste my money on alcohol, but he was also pretty generous with freebies when I wanted them. No doubt it was a ploy to keep me sweet, so I didn't find anyone else to deliver my liberated merchandise to. "I think I'll give it a miss after the events of last weekend," I reminded him. "Me and a free bar weren't always the best combination, and dancing on a table before falling from it wasn't exactly my proudest moment. I still had a purple bruise the size of Utah on my ass."
"Well, one of these days I might leave,"
the guy beside me said irritably, and Joey headed to the far end of the bar without so much as a word of protest. I raised an eyebrow at his rudeness, but he didn't seem to care. I guess douchebag ran through his veins too deeply for him to acknowledge it. "I think that's my cue too," I said, hopping from my seat and slipping back between the crowd of leather-clad bodies. Fancy Shirt snatched my arm again and said something which was drowned out in the crowd of voices and background music. "Back the fuck off," I snapped, twisting my arm out of his grip as I slid into the throng of bodies. A few of Joey's gang overheard me and stepped in to halt Mr. Expensive's advance as he tried to follow me. I took my chance at escape and headed for the exit. Must be the full moon bringing out the pushy weirdos again. I ignored any further attention which was cast my way as I crossed the crowded bar. I didn't want to drink tonight. I just wanted to get back and show Darcy the cash I'd managed to earn. $800. I sighed as I fingered the envelope, which was at least half as fat as I'd have liked. Next time, I'd have to set my sights on something a little less flashy. Although, as I thought back to the ride I'd taken to get here, my lips lifted a little. So maybe the payout hadn't been quite what I would have wanted. But man, that was a good ride. The usual lineup of douchebags decorated the wall outside the bar, posing with their Harley Davidsons and bad facial hair. A couple of the younger guys eyed me with interest, and I decided to skip the bus journey tonight. "Any of you fellas fancy showing me what those machines can do?" I asked with a smile which was way sweeter than my personality. My face was well enough known around here to allow me a measure of trust with the gang members, though I'd made it clear I had zero interest in signing up.
"What'll you give me for it?"
asked a guy with a handlebar mustache.
Nothing you're hoping for, asshat.
Which way are you headed?
A less gross male asked next. He didn't even have any facial hair, which may have been because he was incapable of growing any yet, but that was okay. Young and hopeful topped old and lechy any day of the week. He was actually kind of nice looking, and he had a bike, so that was two ticks for him. Just outside Riverdale on the south side? I replied hopefully. It was a 15-minute ride at best, but a good hour on the urine-stained rust box that served as a bus around here.
Hop on, then,
Babyface said with a grin as he pulled his bike out of the lineup, throwing his leg over it as I drew closer. I gave the bike an appreciative once-over. Nice upgrades, dude, I said with a smile. Either he was spending way too much money on putting this baby in the shop, or he knew his way around a bike in a toolbox.
Thanks, I did it all myself,
he replied with a smirk. My kind of guy. I slid onto the bike behind him, wrapping my arms around his waist as he started her up. Flashy Shirt stepped out of the bar just as the engine roared to life beneath us, his dark gaze set on me. He looked more than a little pissed as he took a step towards us, calling something I couldn't hear over the growl of the engine. Take a hint, dude. I tightened my grip on my companion, and a smile pulled at my lips as we shot away. The wind braided my hair with icy fingers as we left the bar behind at a fast pace. Babyface knew what he was doing with the bike, easing past the speed limit and weaving traffic in a way that set my heart racing with joy and my skin tingling with exhilaration. In no time at all, we arrived at the outskirts of my less-than-great neighborhood, and he pulled over to let me off. I was still four blocks from home, but there was no need to show the nice stranger where I lived. Thanks for the ride, I said with a grin as I started to back away.
You gonna give me your number this time, Tori?
He asked, and I tilted my head, surprised that he knew my name. He seemed to realize it too, and gave me more of an explanation.
I gave you a ride a few months ago, and you said you'd give me your number next time.
I couldn't remember that. I eyed the bike. Nope, I'd definitely never ridden it before, though my memory of faces wasn't so good.
I used to have a Triumph,
he said, noticing my confusion. Oh, you've upgraded, I said as the memory clicked together.
I have. So what do you say? Will you let me buy you dinner sometime?
Hard to say no to free dinner. And he did know his way around a bike. And he was fairly easy on the eye. Can't say no to that, can I? I asked, reaching for his cell phone so that I could key in my number. I didn't catch your name.
Matt,
he supplied with a smile. He hit dial as I handed his cell phone back, and I smirked as I lifted the vibrating device from my pocket to show him that his call had come through. Don't you trust me?
Just checking,
he replied, giving me an appreciative glance.
I'll call you.
I watched as he rode away down the street with a faint smile pulling at my lips before I turned and started heading for home. I picked up a fast pace. The evenings were getting cooler now that we'd hit September, and I was beginning to wish I'd brought a jacket out with me. I jogged the last block, heading into our apartment with a sigh of relief as I pulled open the door at the foot of the stairwell.
We didn't finish our chat.
A deep voice came from behind me, and I flinched in surprise as I turned back to the street. There, standing beneath the flickering streetlight, was none other than Mr. Expensive himself. Terror coursed down my spine and sent my heart into overdrive. I didn't waste time on chit-chat with a stalker as I turned and bolted for the stairs, my heart thundering in my chest. I could hear his footsteps behind me, and my mind filled with images of my broken body abandoned in a dumpster, food for the rats, and a one-liner in the newspaper tomorrow. Holy fucking shit on a cornflake.
Stop,
he called, and for some unknown, utterly terrifying reason, I did. My lips parted in fear as he gained on me, and I managed to shake off the desire to stay still as I bolted again. I made it to the fourth floor, sprinting towards our door at the end of the corridor with the upside-down seven hanging from it. I heard him cursing a moment before his solid weight collided with me. I was fast and had a good head start, so how the hell had he caught up to me? He shoved me back against the door to our apartment and released a huff of irritation. I opened my mouth to scream, and his hand slapped down over my mouth. The corridor was abandoned. Even nosy Mrs. Ergu from next door hadn't stuck her beak out to moan about noise or cooking smells or goddamn trash collections. And for the first time ever, I wished to see her narrow-eyed glare.
I'm Professor Orion. I'm not going to hurt you, and you're not going to scream. You want to let me in.
He released his grip on me and stepped back as I stared up at him, fear still strangling me, but the desire to scream for help gone. I opened my mouth to tell him I absolutely didn't want to let a random stranger into our apartment at midnight on a Sunday, but my hands seemed to have other ideas. I shoved my key in the lock and turned it before I could stop myself. Come in, I said sweetly.
What the hell? I wasn't sweet, especially with strangers. Especially with stalker strangers.
Fancy Shirt stepped right into my personal space, offering me a flat smile as he followed me inside and pushed the door closed behind him. My heart was pounding, my palms slick, and I was filled with the feeling that I just let a fox into my chicken coop.